Hello, sir. Can you hear me all right? Okay. Would you state your full name and ADT number for the record, please?
Charles Price, 43672.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your home arrest revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. To the very far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. To her left is the Honorable Michael Johnson, who is our acting board chair. My left is the Honorable Louis Canonis. My name is David Neal. I'll be your hearing lead. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Turner from the Department of Corrections. He'll also represent the parole office today. And for your information, since you can't see it on the monitor, looks like your sister, your niece are both here on your behalf and your attorney. So we'll have three people that are here on your behalf today for the hearing. Okay, so sir, you were you received a notification form advising you of this hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yeah.
Okay. And I see that you have an attorney present here today. On that form, you were advised of your right to either speak on your own behalf or hire an attorney, and you apparently hired an attorney. So when we get going to testimony, would you like your attorney to speak for you, or would you like to speak first and then have your attorney speaking after you've had a chance?
I'd like to speak first and then have my attorney speak.
All righty. Okay, now are the supporters going to testify today?
Yes, Mr. Neal. Sister and also the niece are going to be requesting permission to address the board.
Okay.
I do have a request to make, and I'm mindful of the courteousness and also the accommodation the board is making towards us. My request is that when the board asks him whether it is true or false, or does he plead the fifth, that the board direct that question towards me, and the board not ask him any questions in that regard.
So, sir, I want to just interrupt you just real quick. So, because these proceedings are tape recorded, could you just come up to the mic and just repeat that so that it ought to be on the recording?
Yes, I'll be happy.
Okay, just state your name, sir.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yes, my name is Fessel Ullah, last name spelled U-L-L-A-H, Arizona State Bar number 025793. I'm the attorney of record, the present attorney for Mr. Price. He previously was represented by a colleague of mine who was Daniel Bakers. My request is that once the board asks Mr. Price whether the allegation is true or false, or whether he pleads the fifth, as colloquially it's referred to, I would request that the board direct that question towards me. Although I think it is highly unlikely, but there still remains a possibility that any statements that Mr. Price makes in response to that question could be used against him in a criminal court.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. I understand. There's nothing listed on the warrant at this time indicating that, but I appreciate what you're saying, and we can follow that course with no problem whatsoever.
Thank you.
Okay, so at this time, I'm going to swear in everybody that's going to testify today. So do you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Sounds almost like at a wedding ceremony. I do. Okay. So, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. And at the request of your attorney, when I go through phase one, I'll be reading the one allegation that's on your warrant, but I'll defer the question to him for the answer rather than you. And just so you understand, that's for your own protection in case any criminal proceeding should develop over this situation, okay? Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So there is only one allegation, and it's allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number 12L, as demonstrated by your possession of a pocket knife on or about April 10th, 2018. So I'm going to ask if it's true or false, or if you wish to plead the fifth, but I'm going to defer that to your attorney for an answer.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. On behalf of inmate Mr. Price, our position is that Mr. Price acknowledges that for the purposes of this hearing before this honorable board, there is enough information presented by the officer that he could be found in violation of that condition.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, based on the information we just received, I am going to find that Mr. Price was delinquent as he violated terms of conditional supervision, and that he may have lapses or not lapses in criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canolas, agreed by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Mr. Whittenhouse. Okay, so we'll be moving into phase two in a couple of minutes, but before we do, Mr. Turner is going to give us some background information. So stay on the phone and we'll get back with you in just a minute. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Yes, Price was released from ADC custody on 11/28/2017 and arrested on 4/10/2018 by ADC electronic monitoring unit. No new charges are noted. He's returned back to ADC custody on 4/10/2018 with a CSED of life, zero abscond days. Current conviction, 1983, murder first degree. No prior convictions, this is his first term in ADC. Has a CUIR score of 3.2, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information is noted. Prior term to supervision, 2011, home arrest release, arrested on a tech violation, continued on supervision, arrested on another tech violation, revoked by DOEC. Disciplinary is significant with drugs, weapons, and stalking, staff noted. After his return to ADC, he did receive a disciplinary and was found guilty of possession of nuisance contraband. Other arrest, 1968, burglary, Arizona County Jail. 1968, forgery. I don't know what the abbreviation for it says, ZZ. I don't know if the state was ZZ. Felony conviction, state prison. 69, burglary, California, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1970, burglary, California fined. 1972, burglary, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 1974, DWI, license suspended, revoked, Arizona County Jail. 1975, burglary again with the ID of ZZ, felony conviction, state prison. 1983, DUI liquor, drugs, vapors combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a GV score of G3, B3.
Mr. Miller.
Thank you, sir.
Can I just ask for one clarification?
Yes, sir.
So in 2011, he was arrested. He was released.
He was released on home arrest.
On home arrest.
He was arrested on a tech violation. Continued on supervision with amended conditions. He was rearrested on another tech violation and then revoked by the board.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's what I was. He was arrested on a tech violation in 2011. He was continued and then rearrested on a tech violation.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, okay, so Mr. Price, we're going to go over some information on your case supervision. So it looks like on January 28th of 2018, you were approved to reside at Reborn Assistance in Phoenix, Arizona. And you were at that residence in that program until you were arrested on this violation, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you had SSI disability, and you had some access and DES assistance, but you were never employed, correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You referred to Taros in Glendale for relapse prevention counseling, but you did not begin your counseling sessions until April 2nd of 2018. Which was shortly before you were violated. So you did you get any counseling in with Taros before you were violated, sir?
No, sir. I didn't go to counseling at Reborn.
Okay. So you also referred to TASC for UAs. And you supplied four specimens. And all tested negative. You had one where you failed to drop a UA on February 26th, 2018. Why did you miss that one, sir?
Well, I was hardly hearing, and I got it on my phone, and I didn't hear it. I could have sworn they didn't say it. So I didn't know. I mean, the next day, my parole officer called me and wanted to know. Well, I didn't know, and I told him I didn't know, because they posted it on the front of the building in Reborn, and then my phone wasn't even up there, and he checked and found out that they didn't say, put the paper up there without my phone on it, so he had to look up on that day, and I did it. And it did that negative.
Okay, so you dropped the next day after you filed your PO.
Yes, sir. I just didn't hear him. I'm hardly hearing him. I don't hear him, so it's... I just can't hear him sometimes.
Okay, well, I understand that. We've been having that problem here with the board all day. So... Okay, at this time, let me see if my fellow board members have any questions. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Price, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I had one question, and I'm probably going to go to your attorney first before I ask that question. In the information, it basically says, basically talking to the PO that the way they recognized he had a pocket knife is that he was bumming through his pocket or something and the knife came out. I'm trying to understand what he was doing at that particular time.
May I respond to you?
Yes, sir. But I need you to go to the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, and it would be my request that that question not be posed of Mr. Price for the same reasons that I referenced earlier. And it is my further request that any follow-up questioning be posed to me first, please. My information, Mr. Johnson, is that although we are acknowledging that for the purposes of this hearing, there is ample evidence to find that Mr. Price was in violation of this condition, the actual circumstances present should the facts be explored, say, in front of a criminal jury trial or any other type of proceeding, would indicate that there was an actual lack of intent on behalf of Mr. Price. It was a mistake that he possessed it directly in his pocket, and the information that is before the board that the knife was in his pocket was for the purposes of cutting out the manual that
had many times with the grocery stores and produce and fruits contained therein. That was the purpose of that. What my understanding is what you should have done is that you should have retrieved the pocket knife and then placed the pocket knife back into the drawer instead of the facility that you were in. They were not having direct possession of that knife.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Any other question? Okay, since there's no other questions from the board, we're going to defer to you, and you can decide what order anybody speaks and everything on Mr. Price's behalf.
Thank you. I would note, as the board noted, that Mr. Price's sister, Ms. Barbara Price, is present. Also, members of the board, Mr. Price's niece, and I'm going to mess up the name, I apologize. Angela Marie Hauser is also present. She's a nurse, and I must note for the board's information, she is scheduled to work today, and she is patiently waiting and stepping outside to take calls. May I please call Mrs. Price to arrest the board?
Yes. State your name.
My name is Barbara Price. I'm Charles Price's sister. When he was over at the halfway house on Orangewood, I went every day to see him and take care of him. The time he was out, he's been in the hospital like four times. Back and forth to doctors, a heart specialist, breathing specialist, and he's on a lot of medication. He has a hard time doing anything or walking or breathing. He cannot even break his banana open. You'd have to take the pocket knife and cut his banana in half and kind of quarter the peel to peel it because he's just that weak. I'm asking if there's any way you'll reconsider letting him come home to me. He doesn't leave me my house arrest. He doesn't need to go anywhere but to the doctor. I will make sure that I have all those things, of cutting his own opening things and that. But he loves the little candles and that, and that's the net bags. I'm getting the pears that have that net wrapping around it. And he cannot take them out. He had to have something to loosen it. I mean, in the halfway house, they had, I mean, he was planning on hurting anybody with that. They had knives in the drawers and everything to, you know, cook and do their food. I took my brother his food every day. I went clear across to Orangewood. I'm like 10 miles from where he was. I'd go there two or three times a day to check and make sure. His parole officer would give him time to go to the grocery store and to cash his check. He'd go cash his check, they'd get him 2 hours out, we'd be back within the hour, 45 minutes. The only time he was ever any longer and he wouldn't go to the store, he had to pay his fine through that J-Pay. We called J-Pay. No, he's not, we don't have anybody by that number, he's not there. Well, then they found out he was in Washington. No, he wasn't. We called his probation officer while we were standing in CBS. And he said, well, Price, just come on back. He went to the halfway house and got on their computers to try to find him. He wasn't there. So he says, don't worry about it. Just go back. Don't stress out. And go back and we'll get it taken care of. It took like 2 months before he could make his payment to DOC or however J-Pay, because they could not find him. There was a mix-up in the thing. They didn't have him in prison. Then he was in Washington. He was everywhere but in Phoenix. And I guess they can't, the parole officer's not allowed to take a money order or a check anymore. It has to go through this J-Pay thing. And that's the only time he called his parole officer would be on one phone, and I have my other. And I say, he's not there, and he talked to the, we have three-way. Well, He's just, come on back, go back home, go to the store. He says, no, I'll just go home because I don't want to be late. Like he was always back, no matter what, how long he was out, he was always back on time, way before he should have been back. The only place he went was to the grocery store with me to pay his fine and to the doctor. He was supposed to go to Terrell's the day after he got arrested. He was supposed to, the day he got arrested, he was supposed to go to another heart specialist. He's got all kinds of doctor's appointments and that he goes to all these lung doctors that he had cornea transplant, and I was bringing over his eye drops for his cornea. He's had cataract surgery on one eye and a cornea in the other eye. He's just a mess. I'm asking you to please grant him back house arrest, and he won't go anywhere but to the doctor. I mean, I'll go to the store, I'll do everything.
Okay, well, the issue on the warrant had nothing to do with Larry Mint or in a violation of his own drink.
Yeah, it was
a pocket knife, and, you know, it's very clear in these conditions of the release that he's not supposed to possess a knife, you know.
Yes, but the house people, all the owner and all that, they walked through there every day, I mean, constantly, every time I was there, one of somebody. And that was always set out. I mean, somebody, they all saw it. Nobody told him, hey, you can't have that.
Well, that's, you know, that's something they might not even know is in these conditions. But I want to ask you a couple of questions about his health. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's got problems with his heart and with his lungs. And so what's he... There's a, you know, we got a big packet of medical information, and I don't know if anybody on the board's qualified to understand it. You know, but I see squiggling lines about my own EKG, and I have no clue what it means, other than that the doctor can look at it and figure out things. So, and it's obvious seeing him that he's not in the best of health. I hope this isn't, you know, isn't a touchy question, but what do you think his mental state is? And
I know he's slow.
Yeah, not so much motivations, but, you know, I mean, is it deteriorating like somebody might be with, you know, with all these conditions? I can see where just attitude would go down. I, you know, I have some health conditions myself, and when they come up, it's like, you know, and but is his mental acuity on decline also? Do you think, I mean, I know you're not an expert or anything, but having that much contact with him.
All I can tell you, he's slow. I mean, he'll ask something that, you know, he's just, as far as being harmful to anybody, he's not. I mean, he's, you know, he made that mistake, he did it, he's sorry, he pays every day. But would he hurt anybody or himself? No.
Excuse me, Mr. Neal. It's necessary, I don't know.
Okay. I'm not sure how to answer the question.
Okay, well, I can understand what you're saying, and, you know, I'm not trying to get it. You know, like a mental opinion or anything, and not so much about his demeanor either, but he's obviously in a state of decline.
All I can tell you is, I'll put it this way, I just lost my daughter and my son was in the shape my brother's in. And I mean, I lost them both within 10 days, and I can't even tell you if he'll make it another day or another month. His doctor, his one primary care doctor, told him, Price, you need to live and take care of yourself because you have not got long. You're walking on very thin ice.
Okay, so you say he likes the fruit, and which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a good dietary practice. I know sometimes I get a banana try to break it open, doesn't want to cooperate. So you were in contact with him daily at the halfway house?
I was there three times a day.
Okay. And Okay, Mr. Johnson?
Ms. Price, my question was that he was staying at a halfway house. You said that if he was leased back out on the rest, that he could stay with you. Is there a reason why he didn't come directly to you instead of going to the halfway house?
Yes, there was.
Okay.
There was some, well, the parole officer didn't think there was enough room for him. There was other people staying at the house, and my son was there with his friend, which has passed. And there wouldn't have been just a room for the children with somebody else, and they had to put the children there and all the people in the room.
Okay.
The only ones at the house now is myself and my children that I adopted.
Okay, so would he have a room?
He has his own room. It's set up right now.
Okay, I just didn't know why he wasn't paroled there from the beginning. So.
That's why there was this, the parole officer didn't feel there was room for him, and there had been one of the guys that had been at my house who had been in trouble. That was a friend of my son's. I had no idea, and he's gone and has been gone.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nelson.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Neal, may I call Ms. Hauser to
the floor? Yes, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Angela Hauser. I just want to start by saying that I know that he was out of my reach, and I promised the last time I came here that I would take really good care of him, but I live a block away from my mom. Literally, same address, just a block away. And I can help her. I can be that support system she needs to take care of his medical needs. I'm an RN. I have been for 20 years. My husband is a Phoenix police officer, and we wanted to make sure he goes the right path. We want to make sure he doesn't get in trouble again. I know that each and every day, when you were talking about his health, not only is he declining, but he is depressed. He's got remorse every day for what he's done. He made a lot of poor choices in his life, and there's no way we can fix that. And my heart goes out to that family. Until the last time I was here, I had no clue what happened, because nobody was ever honest with me until I was here. So it was really hard for me to, I still don't understand. I don't understand how something like that can happen, but it did, and I know he's still my uncle, and I love him, and as my mom said, we just lost my brother and sister, and what little family we have left, I just want to help her to keep it. She does have 6 children that she takes care of, and that was what it was at the time. 2 of them have since moved out, so she now has 4 of them, and so she's got, and then she would have my uncle. All I want to do is tell him in there to breathe through the mouth, or the nose, not through the mouth, but I can't. Can you hear me, Zed?
He should be able to hear you. He just can't see you.
Uncle Chuck?
Yes?
Breathe through your nose, not through your mouth.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
There's this oxygen I can't carry.
I'll get you a mask. So, I will be able to help take care of him. And I guarantee you he was not going to get in trouble again. And I know how much he eats. And even though he looks very thin, the man eats all the time. But that's all he eats is fruit and coffee. He drinks coffee and fruit. That's it. That's all he ever eats. So, but when he gets home to my mom will fatten him up. She does that to all of us. So, I've been asking your mercy to please give him another chance. I know that we've done this before and we've been through this, and you've given him chance after chance, but he won't go anywhere now. As long as he's not in the halfway house, I'll be able to keep track on him every day, and I'll make sure that he's staying.
I do want to ask you one question, and you don't have to answer it at all if you don't want to, but does this cause a conflict between you and your husband?
It actually doesn't. I mean, he really doesn't want to get involved, but he will. He has to. And
but he's supportive of you.
Oh, he's very supportive of me. Yeah.
You know, I was raised in law enforcement and spent a career in it, so I can understand where sometimes that causes rub, but that's a, you know, tell him we said thank you for his service.
Yeah.
And I say thank you for his understanding.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Any other questions from the board? Thank you, ma'am. Well, Mr. Turner?
I have no questions. I already have.
Okay.
Comment.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir. For the record, I'd like to indicate that a knife was used in the commission of the current felony that he is serving. Also, conditions, it's condition 12L specifically states that he signed on 11/28/17. I will not possess any deadly weapons to include pocket knives of any size. Also, the fact that being on home arrest, he is on inmate status, and in no time would he ever be allowed to possess a knife while in prison.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I'll keep my comments brief. Much of the board's questioning and the statements of Mr. Price's family members has covered a lot of the information I was going to note for the record. I would note, I did provide a somewhat thick packet for the board's consideration, and that wasn't frankly, expect that persons like myself, who are not experts in medical terminology, would be able to decipher, but I just wanted to protect it for the record. I would note that the materials that I got from Horizon Health, the prison care, the prison health care provider, are about 3 or 4 inches thick. What I did instead was only provide the records, the service records, the health service records for the last 2 years, which were, at least to me, appeared to be in somewhat plain English. And I can note that, for the record, Mr. Newell, he currently suffers from, the gentleman is frail, as the board can see for itself, but I would note that poor vision, asthma, chronic pain, COPD, emphysema, hepatitis C, possible cirrhosis of the liver. He's on all kinds of serious medications to address these things. And the board has medical records, not just from Horizon, but also from the healthcare provider who treated his eyes, and also from Banner when he was hospitalized a couple of times over the past couple of years. Also, I did provide the board a few letters of support that I received since I began representing him. Just this morning, the family did provide me with 4 additional letters, and because of the timing of it, I was not obviously able to include it in the packet that I submitted. So if the board is interested, I have those letters, I can submit those, but you will note, if you review them, they essentially say that he does have a lot of support, both family and community, and one of them also addresses the difficult time period that Mr. Price's family has gone through, that Mrs. Price alluded to, having lost her family members over the past few months, actually. In terms of this violation, the officer is correct. No disagreements in that regard. The conditions are clear. Mr. Price is not supposed to possess any type of weapons, including pocket knives. I would respectfully submit that under the circumstances at play here, there is residual doubt in terms of what this person's state of mind was when he technically, directly may have possessed one of those pocket knives. And I respectfully submit that it was a mistake of fact, as we'd like to say in the context of a criminal jury trial. But nevertheless, this is serious because of who he is. He's a convicted murderer, and who used a butcher knife to kill somebody, who happens to be caught with indirect possession of a pocket knife. I recognize that it is still a knife, but I would respectfully point out that we're dealing with a pocket knife here that he possessed under circumstances in which it can be reasonably concluded that this was a mistake, whereas the weapon that was used in the underlying offense was a butcher knife. He's a frail person. He's got all kinds of medical issues. The nature and the circumstances of this matter that brings it to the board, I would respectfully submit, are very unlikely to occur again. If the board deems him appropriate of either release to a halfway house or to his sister, obviously the professionals would be best suited to determine where he would go if you decide to give him another opportunity. But It is clear to Mr. Price, it is clear to Mrs. Price, it is clear to Mrs. Hauser, and also they have another sister in California who has indicated interest to me in possibly moving here to Peoria to be in that area so they can all have active roles in making sure that he does not violate any conditions of his community supervision. It is clear to everybody that even a pocket knife that is going to be, that was previously used to cut open nettings of fruits cannot be used. The family is going to have to accommodate that, to facilitate that. Whatever he likes to eat, they have to do it in a manner, they understand, they have to do it in a manner in which he is not violating any conditions of his release. So I fully recognize what the officer has represented. It is a violation, but I respectfully submit under the circumstances, it is very reasonable to conclude, given his physical limitations, his cognitive limitations, and just the circumstances around the halfway house, that this was a mistake, a genuine one at that. This gentleman has accepted responsibility for it through his attorney. This matter would have been concluded a long time ago, Mr. Neal and members of the board, but the reason it dragged on as long as it did is because it went from one attorney to another attorney. And the previous attorney asked for an extension because he wanted to get some medical records. I got the case, I recognized that the previously requested medical records had not even come in, so that's why I asked for a second continuance. But Mr. Price was ready to accept his responsibility in the very beginning. So he is genuinely remorseful, and he wants to accept responsibility for this. He wants to just get an opportunity so he can be with his family in his, but maybe, final years. As you can see, he has family support, although the family size is shrinking, unfortunately. He also has community support. I would nonetheless like permission to provide those letters to you for your consideration, which indicate that the community, or at least many members of the community, may approach, are behind him.
Okay, these will stay with the packet.
Okay. Very well, thank you. In regards to the violation that he incurred recently for a nuisance, possessing nuisance contraband, I don't know the underlying circumstances. I did become aware of that when I checked the DOC inmate records public website myself, but I did note on there that it was considered a minor violation. I think it was a minor violation. His last major one was several years back. Still a violation nonetheless, but I would submit that we're dealing with an individual who may be in the last few years of his life. And he may be in a situation where he's making mistakes unwittingly. But I think the circumstances are at play here where he has the support of his family members and community, including possibly a law enforcement officer, that are going to make sure that he remains in compliance with all of his conditions of release. May I have a moment, please? Thank you, Ed. Mr. Neal, I just wanted to check with Mrs. Price that I wasn't overlooking anything. As I mentioned, they covered a lot of the material that I was going to bring to your attention. And she just would just like me to urge this request, really just to request that the board make a conscientious decision, please, in this matter. This family has been through a lot, and we are respectfully requesting a final opportunity, a last opportunity, that he be allowed to be released back in the community so that he can at least be with his family in what may be his final years. Thank you.
Any of my fellow board members have any questions at this time? Any questions for Mr. Price? Okay, sir, at this point in time, it would be time for a closing statement by Mr. Price, if he wishes to make it, or if you wish to make one for him before we actually make the decision. So I'm going to ask him what he would like to do. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we are nearing the end of your hearing. Before we go into discussion to make a decision, we'd like to give you an opportunity to either make a final statement or defer to your attorney to make a final statement for you, or neither one of you have to make a final statement, but it's that opportunity now.
I'd like to say something.
Okay?
Okay. Is it all right?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, well, I just wanted, when I do get out, I get out, I let everybody touch a knife with me. If I need something cut, I'll have my sister or my niece do it for me. I can't afford to come back to prison with a sealed clean hands and same form. My health is going downhill, and I'm not in the best of shape. I'm on oxygen all the time, 100% of the time. I let this one where I can sit down in me because I can't stand up any long period of time without falling down, and it hurts when you fall down. And I wanted to thank NOSAPS for giving me and not minding me being down on the home arrest. And I just, I'll be 69 in October, and I'm praying that I have another 5 or 6 years, but I don't think I have that much. And I know I got more than that. And I just want to ask the honorable board of Kingsbury to stay me one last time at my sister's house, because she's lost her, my niece, she died in the hospital with COPD, 10 days later, her son, my nephew died, my sister's son at home. So she's been doing enough, and I want to help her all that I can. Thank you.
Okay, sir. All right, the board's going to be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. So we ask you to remain silent, but stay on the phone. You can hear the entire conversation. Once we've made a determination, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the board's now in discussion. I don't remember the original home arrest hearing, but I remember the issues with continuances or anything with Mr. Price. It's somewhat unusual, and it's an unfortunate situation. Looking at the totality of it, and I agree that it's a very obvious violation of the conditions of release, but I can also understand the necessity, you know, to cut open fruit and everything. And in a halfway house, I doubt that he could get somebody to always cut things for him. So one way or the other, he'd end up with a knife. But with more of the violations of any sort issued, he does have failing health. Now the circumstances are probably more in favor of for him for placement with his sister, which I'm sure would be a much better situation for him with his current health condition today. When I go out this at the level of the violation, what the violation is and why the violation is and those things, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy and I, you know, would say revocation, but when I put my compassionate cap on, I, as one voting board member, am in favor of returning him to home arrest with the recommendation that he be placed at his sister's house, so he can have closer family support, and hopefully they would cut all these fruit for him. But I'm willing to listen to the discussion from my fellow board members.
I agree with you, Mr. Yell. There's just one thing, and that is that we have no authority to place him.
No, but we can recommend it.
We can recommend, but that may not happen. So right. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yes.
I agree.
Okay. And so I don't forget, I'm going to need the address of that residence before we're done today.
It's Price's residence.
Okay, so based on all the information, in apartment 2018W10047, my testimony from Mr. Price, his sister and niece, his attorney, and Department of Corrections, I move to return Mr. Price to home arrest with all the same conditions, and we're going to recommend placement, but it is up to the PO and investigation, recommend placement with his sister, and unless there's any other conditions, his sister would be Barbara Price, and I'll get the address they're going to pay for. Anything else, any other changes that you'd like to make other than follow the same?
Other than just putting the address on record so we have that on record.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, so the recommended placement would be with Barbara Price at 7501 West Desert Cove in Peoria, Arizona. Unless there's something else to add, that would be my motion.
A second.
Okay. Okay, motion by myself. Second, by Ms. Rittenhouse?
No, by Mr. Johnson.
Okay, second by Mr. Johnson. Please by Ms. Rittenhouse. And... okay, Mr. Price, did you hear the... discussion and the decision?
Well, about town and school, there's more or less, I have my inheritance.
Okay, so we decided, we voted to return you to home arrest with the all your original conditions of release, and we're going to recommend placement with your sister, but you do have to understand it is up to the parole officer. They would have to do an investigation like they did the first time. And it sounds like more than likely that they would agree with that, but they might not. They might put you back in a halfway house. You have to understand that. If they put you back in a halfway house, then you can work with your PO to move in with your sister or with, you know, in another placement as things work out, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, this will end your hearing then. We wish you the best of luck, and thank you for appearing today.